good to see you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you very much for your word. Speak to us, renew our minds. Help us grasp the height of your plans, your love for us, shown chiefly in the cross of Christ. Help us to delight then this morning in you as our speaking God, as you speak to us through your word. Help us to delight more and more in how we can live in your world, in thanksgiving for what you've done in Jesus Christ. Through him we pray. Amen. I was speaking to a couple of people on the high street this week on my walkabout, and they don't attend Holy Trinity Church. But it was really fascinating to hear what came out of their mouths. It was really interesting to hear their impression. I mean, I've been told this again and again, so it's nothing new, but it was quite something to hear from them personally, the impression that they have of the church, the impression non-Christians have of the church. Can you guess what it is? We're after their money. And that's exactly what I was told. Now, I know that not everyone thinks like that, but I don't want you here, if you're here visiting this morning, to think that my intention is to badger you for money. I'm very glad you're here, but I'm also conscious that the one Sunday you've chosen to visit us is the one Sunday where the sermon is on giving. As it happens, we've just been working our way through the book of Philippians, and this sermon just happens to be the sermon for this week. But the application of what we're going to see from the Bible this morning is primarily for members of Holy Trinity Church. And the reason for that will become clear as we work through our sermon this morning, but please don't switch off. I hope it will give you a clear understanding of why Christians believe what we do and what our response as Christians should look like. What's going on in our passage? Paul rejoices in verse 10 at the love that the Philippian church has for him, even though he had learned to be content with what he's got, not least content through his time in prison. The Philippian church, we see that in verse 14, shared in his troubles. They financially, this church, which grew into a group of churches in a place called Macedonia, Greece to us today, they sent aid. We see that there in verse 16. They sent aid through Epaphroditus, who we saw a few weeks ago, to support Paul and Paul's ministry, the ministry he had even in prison, to other churches and to them as well. And they sent aid when others didn't. So we see in this passage a church willing to be givers for the sake of the gospel. Now, how do I know that? Well, because of another passage in the Bible, which complements the passage that Louise just read for us. And it's actually that passage we're going to concentrate on this morning. So, please turn in your Bibles to another passage. And you're going to need to turn in your Bibles to this because we haven't had it read. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 7. Please pass Bibles down if no one can reach. That'd be really helpful. I've given you a duff number. I've got 1162 in my Bible. So anyway, there we are. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, please. I know this is our last sermon in Philippians, and it might seem odd not to spend it dissecting the last few verses in Philippians, but it's for good reason. Because it's in this passage where we get an understanding of why Paul cites the Philippian church as the model for all churches when it comes to Christian giving, gospel giving. And so I want us to see three things this morning that Paul says about the Philippian church and the Philippians giving and how it can be a model for us today. Here we go. Christian giving is joyfully sacrificial. So you've got a space in the back of your pew sheet. If you want to take notes, there are pens at the end of each pew. So crack on if you like that sort of thing. Paul uses a living example. He uses a church, a group of churches, in fact, in Macedonia, whose example is so clear that Paul can make his point by referring to them. What is Paul's point? That Christian giving is joyfully sacrificial. Now, I don't know about you, but the terms joyful and sacrificial don't always go together, do they? But for the Philippian church, they did. You see there in verse 2, in fact, of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. They're generous. Rich generosity. If we say rich generosity, I wonder what comes to your mind. Maybe it's people like Bill Gates, who each year gives millions and millions of dollars to different charities and causes around the world. That's rich generosity, isn't it? But here, the rich generosity that Paul talks about from the Philippian church is more like what a charity collector will get as they stand outside of Thiel train station with a little bucket for an hour or two. Pocket change to many, many people. But Paul calls it rich generosity. Really? How does that work? Well, it's because their generosity was not recognized by the amount that they gave, but by their desire to give. Their desire to give was so strong that the Philippian church were the ones begging to give. Have a look at verse 4. I'll read from verse 3. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. They recognize that giving is a significant part of serving the gospel. Giving is participating in the gospel being proclaimed, equipping and ensuring that the work can happen, as it is here. Giving to the gospel work in Thiel is equipping and ensuring that the work can happen. The church continuing here in Thiel is no guarantee. Did you know that? Last year, 30 churches closed. The year before that, about 25 churches closed. I've said this at the top of our finance update. Don't look at it yet, but I've said this at the top, that there is no central Church of England bank that pays for all of this. It all comes from giving. Well, if for the Philippian church, it would have meant for them going without. Certainly going without the things that they perhaps wanted. Their giving wasn't foolish. They didn't just give everything away and then they couldn't live and eat. We saw that in verse 3, which I just read out. They gave as much as they were able. They gave what they were able to give, but then a little bit more, and they were joyful to do so. Well, how so? How could they be joyful, joyfully sacrificial? Well, this leads to our next point. Christian giving is motivated by the gospel. Christian giving is motivated by the gospel. So in verse 8... And I'm conscious we haven't read this passage together, so we'll go through it. But in verse 8, Paul tells the Corinthian church that he's not commanding them to give money. See that? I'm not commanding you. He starts. Christian giving is never about compulsory giving. There should never be any arm twisting in Christian giving. Rather, Christian giving should be motivated by the gospel. And so Paul reminds the Corinthian church of the gospel. And so please have a look down at verse 9. I'm going to read this. Very appropriate verses for us as we approach Advent and Christmas. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. So what's the gospel there? That though Jesus, God the Son, was rich beyond words, seated in the throne room of heaven, yet for us whose natural disposition is to ignore God and rebel against him as king of our world, something the Bible calls sin, yet for our sake, Jesus became poor. He became a man who experienced poverty to the point of having nowhere to lay his head. Luke's gospel tells us. But not only that, he experienced poverty of the cross, the poverty of judgment, when he, the perfect sinless Christ, took upon himself the punishment that we deserve for our rebellion against our God and his rule as king over our lives. Why did he do that? The passage continues. So that through his poverty, we, you and I, if we turn to the Lord Jesus as our Saviour, might become rich, forgiven sinners, an inheritance of perfect, peaceful, God-filled, eternal life that no one can ever take from us, that can never perish, spoil, or fade. That is the gospel. This word gospel means good news, and it is the good news of Christianity. And it's this that motivated the Philippian church to give. This was the challenge that Paul gave to the Corinthian church. And it's the same challenge to us who worship Jesus as Lord. Here's the challenge. Does the gospel motivate us to be selfish, or does it motivate us to be givers? It motivated the Philippian church to be joyfully sacrificial. It is a mark of being a Christian that we are captivated by the gospel and want to give so that others likewise will be captivated by the gospel. And it is why Christian giving is just that. Christian giving. For Christians. Not for people who haven't accepted Jesus as Lord. Now please don't let that be controversial for you. It hasn't been in the history of the church, but I do recognise that it could be. So I want to help us to see why that is. Anybody can contribute at any time to the finances of Holy Trinity Church, and of course that is lovely, and we're very grateful when people do. But our ability to keep reaching out with the gospel comes from our response to the gospel, and not some hope that we might just, perhaps, at various points in the year, have some people give us a substantial amount of money, and then we might just be able to afford our building. So if you're here and you're not a Christian, I hope you don't mind me, if you're not following the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, I hope you don't mind me saying it again, our heart's desire is not for your money. Our heart's desire is for you to hear the gospel and to be captivated by it, to see who Jesus is, to be wowed by the one who has the power of God because he is God and could still the storm with just his voice. He's worth getting to know. Please, let me assure you of that. And for those of us who are captivated by the gospel, well, we have a great motivation, don't we? Christian giving is joyfully sacrificial because it is motivated by the gospel. Okay, here's our third and final point. Christian giving requires action. And this is our main application from our passage this morning. Paul says in verse 11 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he says to them, "Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means." Finish the work. It is a point about the continuous opportunity for the church's mission and the need to support the mission financially. So if giving is a response to the gospel, giving is not to be a random, spasmodic, guilt-infused, rummaging around in our pockets to see what loose change we have. That's not Christian giving. Rather, it is the recognition of needing to, as a church, see the mission through. And so I want to suggest that our giving, for it to be effective, needs two things. It needs prayer, and it needs planning. And I suggest that it's much easier to pray when you know what to pray for. Hence, this sheet. Okay, you can get it out now. I've been telling you not to look at it all service. Here we go. Have a look. Please don't read through it now, because then we'll never get through the sermon. But please take it home. Please do read it. We've spent a lot of time writing it and trying to make this as clear as possible for you, for us. What will you see? Well, you will see that as a church, we are going to next year put together a budget, a yearly, an annual budget, so that we will always spend money, treat money wisely at Holy Trinity. You may notice quite a surprise. You may notice that it costs, and this is the middle of the front page, that it costs just under £1,500 a year. A week, I wish. A week to keep this building afloat. And that's nearly £75,000 a year. You will see on the inside, the first page on the inside, how that £75,000 is spent. And you will see that currently we have £42,222 that we're able to contribute to how much we pay for the work of Holy Trinity. In other words, we're just over £32,000 short this year. Now, how is it, therefore, that this building is still going? How is it that you have a vicar? Well, let me tell you, it wasn't guaranteed that I was going to get here. At one point, you weren't going to get a full-time vicar at all, because Holy Trinity doesn't pay enough for ministry in Thiel. The Church of England, the Oxford Diocese, have given us a 10-year plan. And so that's why you will see on this side, the expenditure, £22,500 paid for by the Diocese of Oxford. And they are subsidising us for a limited period to keep us afloat, which is a wonderful thing. And there are other churches in our deanery who are paying more so that we can meet the lower target from the diocese this year. So other churches, all the other churches, are contributing to us being here at the moment. There's all sorts of things to read here. Please do read it. Please do have a look at it. Please do pray through it. Pray about our giving. Please ask God to show us how we can be a generous church to the work of the gospel here in Thiel. I don't ever know who gives what. I don't see any of that, and I make a point of that, so I'll never know. But I'm asking you to please pray through your giving. If you are giving, thank you very, very much. We are very grateful. If you're not giving, perhaps it's something to think about if you are a member of Holy Trinity Church. If you've been giving and you haven't thought about increase over the years, the need to increase, maybe this is a good time to start thinking about that. At the back of church are details of how you can give. What are they called? I've got it here. Gift aid forms are at the back if you're a taxpayer, and things like that. And Steve, our treasurer, is here, and Steve is good with numbers, whereas I am absolutely hopeless. So please do speak to Steve if you've got any questions about any of this. Okay, we should be prayerful, and now you know what to pray for. We need to be planned. As a church council at Holy Trinity, our aim is always to be open and transparent and planned about the way we use the money that is given. You'll see that on page one, in fact, that we're going to be working hard next year to set a budget. But what helps us as a church council to be planned is if we, as a congregation, give in a planned way. And so I want to encourage us this morning to review our planned giving. Now, maybe you've been here over the years and you haven't thought about the need to increase giving, and if you haven't considered planned giving, here's a good time to consider it. Planned giving is where we pay through the bank, standing order, and it's a good thing to do. because it helps us to think about how much we are giving out of our disposable income. Something for us to think about. Now, we're drawing to a close, I promise. I appreciate for some of us this might be somewhat of a radical change from putting our hands in our pockets as we come into church to see if we've remembered to put anything in there. Christian giving is different to that. It's joyfully generous. Will you please be prayerful about your giving? Will you be planned about your giving? Motivated, not because Martin has stood up here and told you lots of facts, motivated by the gospel, that good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, who became poor so that we could have the riches of his grace. Paul ended his letter to the Philippian church by thanking them for their giving. What does he say here? I have received full payment, verse 18, and even more. I'm amply supplied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Their giving meant that the gospel would keep spreading. That's what it meant. It meant that the gospel wouldn't stop moving forward. And so it did. 2,000 years later, it's still here in Thiel. Let's pray for that joy to keep spreading. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for our time to look at this passage. Lots to take in. But Heavenly Father, at the end of the day, we want to pray that you would help us to have a wonderful grasp on the gospel, to delight in our Lord Jesus Christ, to see that he who was rich became poor for our sake. We want to pray, Heavenly Father, for our church here in Thiel. We recognize, Father, that we are here by the grace of God. And so we pray that you would help us to be able to, over the next few years, meet the target of being a self-sufficient church, a church that can pay its own way, and perhaps even help other churches who can't pay their own way. We pray, Father God, that you would put it on our hearts to respond in ways that would please you. We recognize people give already. Thank you so much. We recognize that people are giving to their means. Thank you very much for them. And help us, Father, to remember that wonderful joy that is set before us, that can never perish, spoil, or fade. In Jesus' name. Amen.